Okay, I heard once a beautiful story. I think it's has a very eternal message, perhaps. Someone came to the Brisker Rav, and apparently he wasn't Kavod HaTorah. And apparently he was some type of Askin. He walks in the morning, goes, "New Brisker Rav, what'd you do for Klal Yisrael today?" I did already. I met this person, I helped that person, I'm busy here and there. What'd you do for Klal Yisrael?" The Brisker Rav wasn't flustered, and then he said, "You know what I did for Klal Yisrael today? I woke up in the morning, I put on my right shoe first, and then my left shoe, and I tied my left shoe, and then my right shoe, and I got dressed, I put on my right first, and my left." Brisker Rav wasn't known to making jokes, but he was telling him, a very penetrating insight. The most important thing you do for Klal Yisrael is you comply with halacha. The details, the nitty-gritty, left and right, and tie, and all the think quote is, you can live without it, but every halacha, every detail, is really public service, is national security, perhaps we could even say. And the emphasis is that the Ramban says, in the end of Parshas Bo, "Havizoy v'mitzvah kalake v'chamura, shekulon chamurais v'chavivais ma'oid." Everything is important, every halacha, every detail. When I learned the sugi for this week, I think I got a new appreciation of that, of this Ramban, of this Brisker Rav. Today we're going to focus on the Gemara of Sahat Lamed Ches, which might seem like, another detail, another kleinikait. But first of all, everything's important, every kleinikait's important. But today we'll see that there's no such thing as a kleinikait. I believe the shot in that Ramban is that the kala of a chamura is important because the kala is also a chamura. We perhaps don't appreciate it, we don't understand the depth of it, the oimik of it. But you'll see, I think today is a very good example. You learn the Gemara, when Vaita, a big deal, the bracha of Hamoitzi. But it's literally amazing, and it's probably an understatement, it's literally amazing how every detail, every prat and prat is accounted for so carefully. The bracha of Hamoitzi, which we learned at Lamed Ches, seems like a very simple, fairly simple bracha. Incidentally, the Avud Raham, one of the Rishonim, say that he first discusses Hilchas Hamoitzi because Tadda Vishayna Tadda Tadda Kaidim. I mean, today we can't even understand that. I think you mentioned the first week they don't even bench in camp anymore. Today bread has become obsolete. But in those days, bread was the Ikka, and that's the special bracha of bread. You look at the bracha of Hamoitzi, every word almost needs explanation. Hamoitzi, why do you say Hamoitzi? You could say, you don't say Habayir Priyay, what's the hay? The word Lechem seems to be inaccurate. You ever see bread growing from the ground? Hamoitzi Chitim in Aretz, right? The word Aretz seems to be a little difficult because Hadama, Bayir Priyay Adama. So, we'll think maybe it's just a poetic way of saying it, but every ice is going to be accounted for today, Bez Hashem. The Gemara actually, in our Gemara, the Lamed Ches, is wondered about this, what's the pshat of Hamoitzi. So the Gemara says, something? Hamoitzi is not such a good idea after all. That's the Gemara. Moitzi implies past tense. Moitzi means the Eibush took out the lechem from the ground. So Moitzi, the word Moitzi is appropriate. Hamoitzi with the hay, that's the Gemara, is problematic. Because Hamoitzi might be a lashon of osid in the future. What's it have to do with Hilchas Brachos? So the Gemara discusses if Hamoitzi is in fact a future tense or in a past tense. The Gemara is a machlaikis. And then the Gemara says something that really needs a hezbon. The Gemara tells a story. The Rabbanan spoke about Rav Zeira, and they said this Rav Zeira is an Adam Gadlu. The bottom of Lamed Ches. Adam Gadlu ubaki bebrachos. You hear? His Maila is, he's an Adam Gadol. Now, incidentally, you see from this Gemara, that the definition of an Adam Gadol is Baki and Brachas. So we're trying to become Gedolim here. But that's the definition, is Baki and Brachas. So they said, let's see. We'll see for ourselves. Time will tell. When he comes to us, we're going to give him a test, a prava. They came to him, and he gave him bread, and they watched him, what bracha he made. Did he say Moitzi, which is more logical, because that all agree, or Hamoitzi? And he said Moitzi of all things. Took the easy way out, so to speak. So we were delighted with that. You just passed the test. You avoided the issue. Yet the Gemara said, Zeo Sha'im Alav Adam Gadlu and Baki and Brachas. That's an Adam Gadol. I know you could say Maitzi. I wanted to know if Ha Maitzi is acceptable. And this Adam Gadol just went ahead and said Ha Maitzi. Maitzi. This is not my type of Gadol, the Gemara says. You hear? That needs a Hezba. And then the Gemara says, the Hilchas Ha Maitzi. We paskin Ha Maitzi Lecha Min Ha'aret. Now it's puzzling, because if Maitzi is better, all agree, why don't we say Maitzi? Why do we say Ha Maitzi and get involved with problems? Now they asked the Goyin once, the Dumma Magid once spoke with the Goyin, and he said, and he told him to give him Musa, he didn't want to give him Musa, Bekitza. He said, he told him, it's not a kunst to be a Vilna Goyin sitting in your room, your clothes in Vilna, not stepping foot out of your house. That's not a kunst. A kunst would be going out and talking with people, influencing people, inspiring people. So what are you doing, go locked up in your room? So the Goyin's reply, his terse reply was, ich bin ich kein Kunstmacher. You're right, it's not a, I don't want to do no play games. Here we seem to be playing games. Ha Maitzi is questionable, Maitzi is better. What's the shot? So Tyson has one shot, because it's a cheshbon. You hear the cheshbon? Because we don't want you to say the, if you say the bracha quickly, you're going to run one word into the other, and it's going to come out with the hey, malacha oila Maitzi. It's going to slide, the two members are going to slide into one, and it's going to come out oila Maitzi. That's wrong. So therefore, we put in the hey, that's sort of like a break. In between the stop, you shouldn't say, Melech Oila Maitzi Lechem Min Haaretz. That's what Taisa says.
What the person does say, Oila Maitzi.
That's a big problem. Because, first of all, Taisa himself needs a hezba. Every word you have to break in between. You shouldn't stop, run one word into the other. What does it have to do with Hilchas Brachas? And did you notice something else? How about Lechem Min Haaretz? Also, it's a run in. It's attempted to cop one word to the other. So that I saw that the Mefarshim explained that really the lechem and min, first of all, you should not say lechem min together. But the Abu Jaham says that it's more of a slur, it's more slide one into the other when you have a coming. What?
I just give it a parrot?
On lechem min.
Yeah.
And a chanami. But the question is, why do we keep it like that? Exactly, that's one teretz. But the Avraham learned in the way you say it comes out, it's not such a problem. In other words, besides Taisa's cheshbon of the 10 letters, Dr. Avraham, it's not such a problem in the first place. Why? Because the way it comes out, lechem min, is not as troubling as when you say ha'oilam ha'maisi. He says the comet or a tere slides more naturally one into the other. Taisus' reason was soon see. Taisus says you have yud 10 words in the pasuk, but akapanim we see lechayra very very important zehiris say the word slowly. In fact, the Al Yoraba and Awa Simon and Kufsa Machzayim, he's gotten down with quotes from Nassim Shapiro. If someone is careful to say every word and he pauses lechem min haaret muftach, that he won't have damage from that suda. In other words, if you want to save money on laxatives and antacids, all these things, that's what I think he means. You're not going to get hurt from that suda. You're not going to have any side effects from the suda. Fine. It sounds all fine and vile, very nice reading, but it still seems very strange. Just put out a kolkaira, say the bracha properly. Because then actually say, ha moitzi. There's one more kasha, then we're going to get to the beauty of the sugya. The Torah in the beginning of Awa Simon, Kuf Samach Zayin, says, really, you're supposed to say ha moitzi, but we want you to say, so really you should say moitzi, we want you to say ha moitzi, and then he adds, v'yichavim divirchosei l'masha moitzi b'fiv. Say ha moitzi, and think about what you're saying. And the kash is obvious, but first and wonder, everything we say, you have to think before you say. The Sefer Chassidim, the Simon Vav says, someone makes a bracha without thinking, that's the reason of a churban. The Yevish is angry. Mr. Burr quotes it. Every bracha you have to think before you say. You don't just throw a yizik bracha mitaych tiv. So I saw six gedolim, earlier gedolim, they were machaven to the same shot. They give such a beauty, such a meaning, a whole new appreciation to this simple bracha of Hamaitzi. Someone asked me, you know, a while ago, what's going to be with Eretz Yisrael? I mean, look what's going on there. Every day there's new tsaros and there's new threats, and it's getting at it. What's going to be with Eretz Yisrael? I told him, you have to be positive. You have to see the, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. You know what's going to be there, Yisrael? I'll tell you what's going to be. I quoted him the Gemara in Shabbos, Naflamit, and Ksuvus. Also, the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Gamliel, and he was Darshan. And he painted a most glorious picture of what's going to be with Eretz Yisrael, Bikar. Asid Eretz Yisrael, Shetoytzi Gluskois, Uchlei Milas, Eretz Yisrael is going to grow, literally bread. It's going to be such a blessed land, it's going to produce ready-made bread, probably onion, garlic bread, and all the everything. Gluskois is not just a loaf of bread, it means delicacies, very specialties in bread. We hope Bikarev, that's what's going to see. And I always like to see this, I guess, perhaps in a somewhat of a homiletic fashion. But everything that grows, there has to be has to precede that. The way something grows, there has to be the Charisha and the Zriya, right? First, what is Charisha really in effect? Destruction. You come to the land, you destroy the land. You take it, turn it, right? Then you put the seeds in, you bury the seeds. It seems very, very distressing what you do, right? First you destroy it, then you bury it. But then you wait a while if you're patient and it yields beautiful produce. I always like to see what's going on in Eretz Yisrael today is hopefully is the end of the Harisha, the destruction, the Zriya and Nebuch, the burial that we see unfortunately. But there's going to be a time, the curve, that we're going to see the Metzias of all this, all the Hazayim, the Dima perhaps, Rinei Tzayim. But be that as it may, there's going to be a time in Eretz Yisrael that's going to produce mamish lechem. Six mefarshim. The Bach is the first one. The Teres Akenim on the Shulchan Aruch quotes from earlier. He quotes from the Taldas Yitzchak, who is the Zayda of the Beis Yaitis. That puts it before the Bach even. The Das Torah, the Ali Rabba, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Teres Chaim all say, and it gives such a beauty, such a meaning to this bracha. This is the pshat of Hamoytzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, that every word is Meduyakim Min Chayma. I was amazed because, you know, we say it, but look at the meaning of it. This bracha, Zok Shabbat, and again, the Beis Yosef's grandfather and others, the Teres Chaim, is, perhaps it's a prayer, it's a tefillah, but it's certainly a longing to see that reality. Hamoytzi is a Lashon Asid, you're right. It's a tefillah for that moment. And lechem is very meduyik. Because asid Eretz Yisrael lahoytzi gluskoi is going to produce bread. And ha'aretz is not hadama. It's the ha'aretz with the hey ayidiyah, it's the Eretz Yisrael. So therefore every word is meduyik. Zok debach, you think this is drush, this is halacha, Rabbi Yisai. Zok debach, this pshat is so emes. But then again, the simple person, he comes along, he sees bread, he's hungry, his stomach is rumbling, he's going to say, Amoytzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, he's going to thank Hashem for the bread. Dr. Tur, hold on a minute, Eden. Dr. Tur, that's what's happening to Tur. The Tur says, Sarach Shechavu L'mash Amoytzi B'siv. So we ask the question, every bracha you have to think what you're saying. Dr. Bach, but this bracha has a dual meaning, has a double meaning, has a double function. It's not only thanks Hashem for the past, but it's a hope for the glorious future. You might forget that. Wait a minute, gentlemen. Think what you're saying. And that's why it's Talmud Chacham. Where it says, you can see if the person is Talmud Chacham, because he's saying the bracha with a double meaning. It was amazing how every word is so custom made. It's not just Amoytzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, the past tense, but it's also a tefillah on the future. That's a Kleinikite. You know, just the Lamash of the Chassam Seifa and Ataka on the Shulchan Aruch points out, and he answers all the kashas, that there are 40 letters in the Bracha Hamoytzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, because as we'll soon see, there are four different psukim that speak about Lechem. We'll soon see the Rishonim that bring it. And each one has 10 words. So 10 times 4 is 40. So we have 40 letters in Hamoytzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, corresponding to the 40 words in the psukkah that speak about lechem. If you would not say hey, you would say moiti, you'd be short one. Another meaning. I don't like to get, you know, put myself with all these gedolim, but we always learn the pashat of shad in the bracha would explain the moiti lechem min ha'aretz. We spoke about this in the past. The gadlus of every bracha is supposed to reflect, it's supposed to indicate the special shevach v'hayda. It's not a priya dama, it's a priya eight. Then there's a mezainus, as we explained, and the biggest chiddush, the jackpot, is the hamaytzi lechem in haaretz. We took regular kernel of wheat, which is adama, you made it into flour, which is a shakal, you added water, you made it mezainus, and then you could even make it bread, and it has its own bracha. So maybe the bracha is somewhat indicative of that. Hamaytzi lechem min haaretz. You took the pre-adama, you took it from the ground, that's really adama, and you elevate it to the status of hamaytzi. So the bracha somehow alludes to that godless. Hamaytzi lechem min haaretz. You took aret and made it into lechem. Be that as it may, we see the bracha of hamaytzi, I hope, has a whole new meaning to it. It's mamish, has so many different points that when you learn, perhaps you don't see. Thank you, Ari, for pointing out. Tosis quotes the Rishalmi that the bracha is patented after the pasuk of, but we find in Tilla, Matmiah Chatel of the Heimel Eisav Oides Adam Ha'itzi Lechem Bin Haaretz, right? And then Tosis continues, Al Kein Yesh Lefzoye B'Shtei Yadav Be'Esa Et Bois Kineged Yud Tei V'Yishev Mikra Zeh. When you make the Hamaytzi, and Tosis quoting the Rishalmi, this is not just a someone's Einfal, it's the Rishalmi. You make that mighty, you put your 10 fingers, take this as a double lashon, the Esa, with Eshtei Yadav, and Esa Etzboi. Put your 10 fingers and your 2 hands onto that bread when you make that mighty. Now, that Agav, we should say, is Dafka. The Magen Avraham says, if you're wearing gloves, take off your gloves. The Mishnah Berurah later, and again, you'll see as we go, every detail is the Paiskim are concerned. The Mishnah Berurah in Reishai and Aleph, he's cut in the Malach, says, but you know what happens very often? When you're making a mighty on Shabbos, you know, you're tired, it's a hard week, so you put your hand onto the lechem, right? No good. Put your hand under the cover, onto the bread, because you have to put your hand onto the challah. You don't, let many people just grasp the challah cover with the lechem, a mighty lechem in Eretz, that's all nice, but you're supposed to put your SS bite onto the lechem, not on the challah cover. The Kafa Chaim points out, very often, you just make the indentation onto the challah, and then you hold onto the knife together with the two challahs. But the Kafa Chaim, that's not correct. Get your 10 fingers onto the lechem, you got the knife in between, that doesn't belong there. Is that a place? Yeah. Of course. I'm saying during the week, usually you only have the roll, so you put your 10 fingers on the roll. Shabbos, there could be complications.
And you're listening out there?
Oh, we're going to get there in a minute. That's another point which the Rishonim speak about. From Titus, you don't see any chiyuv to lift up the bread or lift up the challah. All you see is you put your fingers on the challah. And I think, again, Friday night after a hard week, you're pretty tired, you get these big challahs, you know. Just put your hands on, and that's it. And that's true. From our Titus alone, there is no chiyuv to lift it up. The Makar is the general halacha in Reish Vav, Dalit. Kol davar shemavarech alav, tzarech le'echa, you're supposed to lift it up, pick it up. Everything you make a bracha, you're supposed to pick it up. In fact, there it says you're supposed to pick it up with your right hand. Everything, every bracha you make, you pick it up with your right hand. The chiddush here is both hands. It's a chiddush. Because I would think, do it with your right hand. Why do it with two hands? The answer is because we have the pshat of the ten fingers connected to 10 words. The picking up is basically a Kabbalah. I'll pick Kabbalah, the Kafa Chaim, and he's cut in Lamed Bey, says he's supposed to pick it up by the Bracha, by the Shem, right? Baruch Atah Hashem, you pick up the Chala Haya. And then again by the word Lechem, might see Lechem, you're also supposed to pick it up. Okay, the Maril, which is one of the Rishonim, says Dafka by the Shem. It's questions exactly when to pick it up. The Maitza, the Halacha, again, the Halacha is Klar, you're supposed to put your 10 fingers on the Challah. You're supposed to lift it up by the Shem, and some lift it up by the Hamaytzi also. The word Hamaytzi. The Maril is the one in Shabbos Oitzei that says, when the word Hamaytzi, you're supposed to pick it up for the second time. The Mekubolim, I made a mistake, the Mekubolim say Dafka by the Shem, and not by the Hamaytzi. But the point is, we see an interesting concept, that every detail is really accounted for. How to pick it up, where to pick it up.
Yeah, well, the Mishnah, you put your 10 fingers to somebody, you should only put 10 fingers on the
No. He's supposed to, that Maril says he's supposed to put it on the both. Yeah, both of them. That's it. See, you're right. In the Gemara, we don't see different than Maril. What's that?
Summarize exactly. What, how do you do it?
I want to get to that 1 second. I didn't finish that. That's why I didn't say it.
But it's both.
Okay. Right. No. The Kamakum. No. The Hal. No. The Halacha is only by the Shem. That's the real Halacha. The Mitzar Halacha Shem.
The
Yeah, I guess so. I'm just telling myself in the Kaf HaChaim. The Kaf HaChaim says that the Mekubalim might say, I don't know. What did you say, I'm sorry? By the word Hamaiti, not by the Shem. Yeah, but not by the Shem, right. The Maril says both, and the Mekubalim say only by the Hamaiti. Right, not by the Shem. That's what you meant. Okay. The Mekubalim say only by Hamaiti. By the Kaf HaChaim, and the Halach, the Maril, Baruch Ata Hashem, and by the Almighty. Maril was a Rishon, don't forget. Maril was affectionately referred to as Avi Kol Minig Ashkenazim. Remember a time we learned that by him? Because he was the one that started all the Minhagim. So again, let's chazer over. One thing more that I want to say, I really can't, you know, it's a little hard to do it, but exactly how did the Halach is, you're supposed to put 10 fingers, right? That's the klar. You're supposed to put 10 fingers on the challah. But it's supposed to be actually the 2 fingers, these fingers on the bottom and the other fingers on the top. That's where you're supposed to pick it up. Okay, that's what it says also. That's the based on the Maril. I have to find exactly who says it. But people that find this, you know, usually pick it up like this. But it goes, yeah, it is that. Okay, that's why, I can't say this is a chiyuv, but the Lamaisa, here it is, the Kaf HaChaim, and Sivkot Lamed Beis. Take 2 chalas, right? And you should pick it up. Stay yad cha'oiz b'lechem l'mayla ma'at, pick it up, and that's what he calls the remez, grace of Zachar. Okay. That's the proper way is hold the chal, either 1 or 2. And but 10 fingers for sure, without a heftik, Baruch Ato Hashem, like any Malach Ha'ilam, Ha'moitzi Lech, Ma'idu like the Halacha, so I do it by twice. Mekubalim, I guess Aryeh is an Aryeh, they're all into the Kabbalah school. It's the Ik is by Hamaiti. Lechem Min Ha'ar.
That's when my son came up to
Mishiv,
and I always said at the end, he said, no, you're supposed to have
Mishiv
in the beginning.
No, he's right. Yeah, the Hashem is definitely the Inyan of the Halacha also. That's the Maril.
Under the cover.
No. The cover is there, but it shouldn't put your hands on the cover. That's the problem. On the cover, any way you want to do it. The mice is supposed to have a cover shaft to brach off. That's what the shaft. Yes, see.
You put your hands on the cover.
Right.
The 2 covers.
Right. See, it's a little hard. I know. I said this once in a share. Someone called us. How you doing? That's the 10 fingers.
We just go through the entire process because some people are the cover is not. Okay. What's the problem?
During the week, you have your roll for lunch. You put your 2 fingers, 10 fingers. Now, on a regular, when you make. Let me get this straight. You make a brach on an apple. You pick up the apple in your right hand and you make the bracha. That's halacha tzuchan aruch. Hold it in your right hand, right? Right is dama.
Any time you make a bracha, any food, you have to hold the food in your right hand.
Your right hand, right.
You have to hold it up?
You know, there's not chiyah, but again, like you said, that's national security. You know, your brother there. If you have to hold it with the fork. The Magen Avraham says you should not grasp with a knife. If
I have the bracha, do you say lift it up by Hashem also or by Oyre Priya?
You lift it all the time.
No. Lift it a little higher by the bracha also. Yeah.
No, but by Hashem or by Oyre Priya Aids?
You mean like the thing with Kabbalah? I don't know.
So that's Hamaiti, the word, or the end of the bracha?
I know, what'd your son say? What'd your son say?
What's the Shema Seyam teaching?
I don't know. I'm going to go back to you. I don't know.
Could
be it's only by Hamaiti. Maril speaks about Hamaiti. I do not know for other brachas.
Okay.
Right. But that is mefurish. Every bracha you hold it in your right hand. The chiddush of the chiddush of Hamaiti is not right hand only. In other words, if you want to hold the apple with both hands, so you're detracting from the intention of it. The thing is to show the right is always chesed. The Kabbalah is always dominant of chesed. You're holding your right hand to show the right is goyver. Chesed is overpowered gvura. You want to hold it in both hands, that's no good. Better only the right. The Hamaiti is different, you have to get your 10 fingers on it.
Okay? 10 fingers on your sandwich during the week. Shabbos, you also have 10 fingers, and you also have a maisi, but the problem is you have a challah cover. So usually most people do, they put it over, they like to bench their children, you know, with the cover, by the chuppah. That's no good. I mean, I can't say it's wrong, but it's not right, mahalacha. Put the hands on the, eat the, look. Remember, the tight Russian, you put 10 fingers on the bread.
With the cover on top.
So the cover on top is supposed to remain until after the bracha, al tilchus lecha mishnah, al tzecha lemon. The Taita says that that's a kineged the essence. I'm telling you what the Magen Avraham said. It shouldn't be with gloves. Gloves and the knife shouldn't be there. And under the challah cup, it's a tickle problem.
What if you wash a pizza?
Fingerprints on the pizza.
One of my rebellion, I don't want to say his name. I don't want. There's a kid getting him nervous. So he's drinking coffee. He goes, take some coffee. Hopefully you'll burn your tongue so you won't talk so much. I remember like yesterday, without papers, but I still remember it. I'll tell you whoever he was later. Okay. But anyhow, if someone makes a mighty on pizza, and he puts the 10 fingers, he might burn his hand. So let's be a vita. Okay, yeah. You know, when someone asks me, there's such a sense of voice. I cannot answer. I don't know every place.
I'm saying that
only the Hashem?
Both.
The Mekubalim insists only Hamaiti.
Only Shabbos you find that you need to hold one under, one top. And
that's right, that's another thing. Aga. Okay, I just say it quickly, but the point is you're always supposed to make a bracha on the one closer to you.
Right.
Eimah when it's right? That's why on Shabbos day, you put the challah you're using on the top. Friday night, I'll be Kabbalah and the Tazi. We're going to run the Achrayim. I'm not learning Kabbalah. I'm telling you what the Achrayim speak about. You're supposed to use the bottom one. So the problem is you shouldn't use the bottom one and just neglect the top one. So you make the bottom one closer to you, whether it's longer or in a position that is sticking out that is closer to you. Nothing to do with this subject. That's what it is. I know someone called me because it's a little hard. Okay, I don't want to mention it, but yes. Okay, I want to do one more Indian hilchos with Tzias Hafas because it brings the shleim. It's also a really beautiful Indian. It's the Makar is the Gemara Vaita, but I saw Vaita, we're never going to get to that, because we have, on that plot, Daf Mem, there are many other Inyanim. So I want to just mash the Inyan of Atziyas HaPas, so we'll focus a little bit on the Gemara, but it's really the Sugya of today. I was once by someone's house, and he made a Maitzi, and it was with the whole family, and before he made the Baracha, and before he started eating, he realized there's no salt. So he was a courageous fellow, he says, bring me the salt. And his kids gasped for breath. After a mighty, like, who doesn't know you'll have to be mafsik? So it started a lively conversation, okay? Who's right? This budding paisik, is he right? Are his children correct, okay? So.
His wife was wrong.
His wife, she was wrong before they started. They got married. Okay. What? Okay. Listen. So we have to learn a shtick like Gemara later that I can tell you right now is probably around 10-12 nafkaminas that are negated to Hilchos Tzias HaPas. And you see, like I said before, there's no such thing as a claimant guide because everything is carefully researched and focused by the Paiskim. It's amazing. The Gemara, and I'll read it for you, okay, so if you didn't prepare yet, I'll read it. The Gemara is the following. Omer Rav, the Daf Mem. Tol Baruch. That means you tell someone, hey, give someone a piece of Amaiti. Ain't tzarich levarich. You make the amaiti and you say, "Hey, give him the piece of challah." Tol baruch. Ain't tzarich levarich. Right. So Rashi explains. Usually, if you talk out between the bracha, muscle between the bracha on lulav and shaking lulav, you blew it. You have to make another bracha. You put between tefillin, and I should mention this. I see this. I don't know why. In between tefillin shal yad and tefillin shal raish, you now to talk out. Period. Not for kaddish. Not for kedusha. Not for saying amen. If you do, you have to repeat the bracha. Between the bracha and the mitzvah is an absolute no-no. Tefillin shal yad and shal raish is like one. Two brachas is like one. Don't talk out, period.
It's like one bracha? It's like one mitzvah?
It's like one, yeah.
Let's say you only have shal yad and shal yad, you use that. So.
That's the whole issue. And then chami, but the Sfaradim make only one bracha on both. We make two, but you're supposed to make it with kifa achas. You're not supposed to, on the halacha, after you put on the shayad, you're not supposed to roll down your sleeve and put on your jacket and fix your tie and, you know, they take out the mirror, they comb the hair a little bit quickly, you know, all this stuff. That's a little misplaced. It has to be one bracha. Fine. One. Rav Moshe, that's right. You know, it's not Rav Moshe, it's the Machab and the Rush. Rav Moshe did it like that. I'm still saying that. Anyhow, I want to finish this because there's an Indian that I have to finish. It's beautiful. The Gemara says, usually a hefsek is a problem, but in this respect, you're allowed to be masik. Why? Because you have to feed people. It's a very important thing to feed people. So you're allowed to say, here, take the hamaytzi, take the bread. It's not a hefsek. Agav, just to show you. Tol baruch, well, the Gemara didn't stutter. What's the double lashon? Tol baruch. You ever pick that up? Mm-hmm. So the Sifsei Chamin points it out, because there are those that hold that a hefsek is only three, is less than three words, not a hefsek. Because toifke de dibba. We don't pass that way. But anyhow, to avoid the issue, tol baruch is four words, that's unquestionably a hefsek. Fine, good. Then the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afilu haviyu melech haviyu liftan ain tzarich levarich." Not only if you say give someone to eat, it's not a hefsek, but if you say, and again, look at the lashon, "Haviyu melech haviyu liftan ain tzarich levarich." If you speak out, you have to the mighty, "Hey, bring me the salt or bring me the liftan." Liftan is a relish. If you say that after the hamaytzi, you're fine. Why? Rashi says it's a tzarich bracha. Because the bracha has to be eaten with tam. The bracha should be nechalas b'tam, with relish, with appetite. And if you don't have salt or relish, lift on, the bracha is not a good bracha. Now, I want to just put a little history in over here. The halacha is the Ritva paskin like this. Lo yiftza, you're not allowed to make a bracha. You're not allowed to make a bracha until you have that salt or relish. You hear that? In our times it's different, we'll soon see. But in those days, the Metzias, I asked Rabelski, the Metzias was that they didn't have the processing that we have today, the refinement of today they didn't have. And the way they made bread, they took the whole wheat, with the husk, with the everything. It was tasteless. It was very, very untasty. Therefore, Mamish didn't have a taste. And therefore the brach is la yiftza, don't make a brach until you have salt or relish. Now, there's no insistence on salt per se. It's salt or liftan. Liftan is a relish, whatever you like, butter or margarine or whatever dip you like. That enhances the flavor. And then you can make that maitzi. But without that la yifta, don't make the bro. Then the Gemara continues. The Gemara tells a story of Rava Bar Shmuel. They made a maitzi, and he didn't have any. He just made the bracha plain without any liftan. Why? So he explained, my bread does not need salt. Why? So the Gemara says he had pas nekiya ve'ein tzarech liftan. In other words, he had bread that was regular bread. It had a better tasting bread. It wasn't the bread that most people had that was tasteless. He had good bread. He didn't need salt. Okay. Zok the Ritva, again, and the Ritva is in Brachis, that you're not allowed to eat bread without salt or relish, but if you have a good tasting bread, you don't need salt. You don't need relish. Zok Taisis, and Taisis is extremely negaya. Va'anu she'ein lot ein anu regila habi al shulchan lechem lemelech v'lei liftan. We don't. Why don't we have salt? Zok Taisis al pas shalanu chashav, and therefore it's edible. It's tasty. Our bread does not need salt.
Therefore, it's a hefsek.
Oh, that's what I'm getting to. One second. I can't say that. I don't think you're right, but we're going to get to that. I'm telling you, there are 12 nafkaminas just understanding places properly. Zok the Shulchan Aruch. Our bread does not need salt, right? And the Shulchan Aruch, again, why I said it today is because it's mamish the same simon, it's the next one, in Kuf Samach Zayin. The Mechaba, after he says how to do it, how to pick it, v'chulu, v'chulu. The Mechaba speaks about yitin sh'teyadav al-pas, v'chulu. And then he says, La yiftza ad sheyavil upon of melech a liftan, but our path, shalanu, does not need salt. Okay, good. Taisis, however, and Taisis in Brachas, you can all see it, it's very important. Taisis continues, you don't need salt, you're right, but Zok Taisis is a reason to have salt even today. Why? Zok Taisis, quoting a medrash, Kishisrael Yeshvin ala Shulchan, umamtinen ze asher yitlu yadayim. V'heim b'loi mitzvot hasat mekachig aleihem u'bris melech mogein aleihem. So Taisus, we have a national disaster here. Yidda sitting around, they're waiting to make a mitzi, they're not learning, they're not doing anything. What's going to be? It's going to be a churban, they're not learning. So therefore, Zabtais quoting a medrash, the salt, the schus of salt, salt sitting there, is protection. We know melech is always, it symbolizes karbonis, and it's synonymous with ritzui for the Eibishter. We have a problem, we're not learning. The eitzah is, make sure you have salt in the table. Salt, 1 second, when you get to everything. Salt somehow counteracts that possible threat to Klal Yisrael. I always wonder about today. You know, apparently they only were without learning those seconds in between the Tilsadayim and Hamoisi. I think today we would all be good if we carry a little bit of salt in our pockets. I mean, like, you know, bottling, like, it seemed like the rarity in those days. The only problem was the second or two. I don't know.
Why couldn't they learn in between while they're waiting?
Oh, so they could have learned, but they probably couldn't verbalize it. I don't know. I once thought maybe this is a raya to the shita of the Rav Shulchan Aruch. Maybe that's a raya that's not the full learning. It's a good kash. I don't know. Okay, that could also be. That could also, so if you tank of Alachasin, I don't know. But this is a medrash. Okay, I really want to finish. Let me go. Let's move on. So the reason we see today, there are two reasons to have salt. One reason is because of the tastiness of it, which we don't need today. And then we have the problem, the churban, that might be a bittul toyv. That's not mishlut. And again, I'm telling you, this is not drush. The Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, he quotes this. The Ramah, mitzvah lahavi al kol shulchan melech, ki ha-shulchan, right? We'll see the cheshbon. The Shibboleth Aleket in Siman Kuf Mem Aleph, one of the Rishonim, has another reason. And he says it's not the churban, but pashit al kol, he says it's a shulchan doimel mizbeah. And Mizbeach always had salt. So it's Shashulchan Nikr Mizbeach, and Akol Kabon Chatakir Melech. Okay. In other words, it's not the threat of Chas V'Shalom Churban, but we want to enhance the importance of the Shulchan. Rather, many people are massive, we don't let a child run on the table. But as a Mukher in the Sefer Chassidim, it's based on this analogy. You take off the knife, supposed to cover the knife, or take off the knife before benching. Why is that? It's an embarrassment in his bayah. You know, we underestimate what we are. I always say that. We tend to underestimate what we are. We have a shulchan that's in his bayah that we have to be careful. You know, many halachas, you know, I always say this, how are you supposed to eat? Right? You shouldn't be a rasta, you shouldn't eat a big piece, and bite into a big piece. It's not the pshat that we're not allowed to, but we shouldn't be able to. Our eating is in his bayah. Rabbi Yisrael Eisen tells me, that, you know, someone asked him once, tell me what's wrong with wearing a Mickey Mouse t-shirt? What does it say? It's not chocolate, I check it, it's not, what's wrong? His reply, I think, was very, very wise, and he said, would you put that as a mantle on the Sefer Torah? Why not? There's no chocolate in it. No, because it's a Sefer Torah. A person is allowed to be a Sefer Torah. You know, we underestimate what we are, what we're supposed to be, what you know, we eat. We don't fret because we there's a mizbeach here. We take off we put on the salt. We don't put our kids on the table. We take off the knife. Many halachas. Maybe we'll see more. But the point is, we see a third reason in the Rishonim. Don't forget, in the Rishonim, there are three reasons to have the salt. One is for the pas. One is for the possible churban. And the third reason is that lofty muscle of shulchan daimel mizbeach. Now we have to see if our budding Paisik was right in that, okay? The question is exactly which reason to apply to the various questions. I'll give you a muscle ba'alma, okay? But the way the Paisikim explain, it's more than just having salt. The Kafachayim says this, that we want to dip the bread into salt because lechem and melech are the same oisius. You notice that? The difference is melech has a open mem, and lechem has a closed mem. So the Kafachayim, I'm just telling you all his words. Closed is more chesed. Lechem is chesed. Melech is gevura. So therefore, he says we dip the bread into the salt. Why? Because we want to have the chesed going into the gevura and making it subservient, like being machnia, the gevura, the dinim, to chesed. That's the way he explains it. And you dip it three times, he says.
Fine.
So now we see this simple minig, again, the simple minig of dipping, using salt has a lot to it. Whether it's the reason of Taisvis, the reason of the Shibali Aleket, and we see there's no reason of Alpikabo. So let's apply that, and I think we should have time for the different questions, and Lagabi, this question of the salt and the Hamoitzi. First question people ask, tell me the bottom line, do I have to have salt today or not? So the emphasis is, there's no question about it. Today, salt is necessary. Taisa says it, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, the Shulchan Aruch in our Siman Kuf Samach Zayin Dalet, and the Shulchan Aruch says you don't need salt today because we have good bread, Zokter Amo, Mitzvah Lahavi Atal Shulchan Melech, Ki Al Shulchan Daimel Mizbeach. V'hu Megin Min HaPeronius. So the Magen Avraham is quick to add, the Rama is alluding to both reasons. Maybe Min HaPeronius is Taisus' reason. Right? Because we're afraid that without learning we're in for trouble. And the first reason that the Rama says, because Daimel Mizbeach is the reason of the Shibali Alechim. So Zab the Magen Avraham, the Rama is alluding to both reasons. People ask, is there an inyan of really dipping in the bread or sprinkling a little salt on the bread? Another nafkamina. If the reason is pasha to have tasty bread, see, bechlal, salt is enough. If the reason, like we saw the Kaf HaChaim explains, to put the melech, lechem into melech, it's daska dipping three times. And the Magen Avraham, in fact, quotes that also. It's interesting. The Magen Avraham is very brief, as he always is, but the Magen Avraham says, taki to dip it three times. Now, where did the Magen Avraham get this concept? See, kasu ha-makubalim, litvel prusas ha-betziyah b'melech. Sorry, I didn't say the word three times, that's the Kaf HaChaim. But litvel prusas ha-betziyah b'melech. Where's that from? You notice he said, kasu ha-makubalim. Because it's not just enough to have salt, but the dip salt is also important. Okay. Lamaita, again, if someone does not use salt, he's not violating the halacha. In the olden days, it would be a violation of the halacha. Today, our bread is tasty, you do not need the salt.
What about other things you're convinced you're not?
I'm going to get there. We'll get to everything. Just give me time, okay? I once saw a gadol. It didn't have salt. They took the bread. He broke up the piece, right? Made a mitzi. And he dipped the bread into bread. Did have salt? Dipped the bread into the bread three times? I thought that was strange. But when I learned the sugya, I saw that he did pretty well. Dr. Kaf HaChaim. Kaf HaChaim spells this out. If you don't have salt, then you could dip the bread into bread. Because bread has salt. All our bread has salt. And I guess what he means to say is, you know, melech is the oisiest lechem, but lechem is also the oisiest lechem. Like the Kotskis say, people don't eat nuts on Yom HaRoim because chet gemach yechet. Chet is also gemach yechet. Egg gemach yechet. Chet is also gemach yechet. Lechem is also gemach yechet. So you accomplish the same thing by dipping the bread into salt, into bread, because it's also a form of salt. Okay. How about if you don't have, let's say you're not very keen about dipping the bread into bread, can you dip it into something that has salt in it? You have a relish? How about sugar? Can you use sugar? What? Anything. Can anything have salt? So the place can speak about this as well. Zok de Kaf HaChaim im ein lay melech, nira de yitbal prus la moiti belechem atmei gimel pamim. That's one thing he says. But then he says, but don't, he says, I see people dipping it into any food that has salt, but that's no good. And the head is pashit. I think l'shitasei is mamish beautiful. Let's say you have a tuna salad, which has salt. You dip the bread into tuna salad, you're not fulfilling the objective. That's not lechem, that's not melech. You don't have any of the symbolism of it. Tuna salad is not melech. But lechem is lechem. We just said that. Lechem is lechem. So you do have the symbolism of lechem being lechem, so it's better, Dr. Kaf HaChaim, and he spells this out, if you don't have salt, dip the bread into bread, but not into a tuna salad or a tchina, because tchina is not in any way lechem. In other words, there you have the lechem of it.
But lechem is not melech. What's the difference?
Oh, so that's what he says. The point is to have chesed, so lechem is chesed. Just telling you, you know, if I'll know as much as he, I know, I had that question also. But again, if I would know as much as the Kaf HaChaim, I'll be able to argue with him. But he says not to use other foods, only lechem itself. You have the salt and the tuna salad also.
The melt also.
My inspirers was that they speak about each and every one of these. I'll give you another mashal, okay? Someone, I saw this, he didn't have salt, he took the sugar shaker, poured it out, and dipped the bread into the sugar shaker, into the sugar. He's a sweet guy, right? But the question is, does that really make sense? Zot the Kaf HaChayim, he quotes from earlier sources, and he says the following, that some use sugar. Why should sugar be good, everybody said? Doesn't make any sense, right? But it sounds whole that when by kabbonis, if you don't have salt, you can use sugar. Chemically speaking, the sugar has a certain property that's similar to salt. Zuck there, and he says, after he asked him, Mechila, what's the chilek? What does that do with us? He says, the reason of salt is lamate kadin, right? The melech, he says, suke einay din lay b'shmoy, lay b'tamay. It's not melech, it's not lechem, it's nothing. How could you use sugar? If you want to use sugar, some say you could use sugar in the same property, and fine, but what's that to us? It's mamtik din, but not sugar, it's not mamtik din. Okay, so that's the end of that. Okay, he says, the guy says one nice thing, he says, by a chasana suda, the Dominic to dip into sugar, they should have a sweet life. So the Kafachayim, that's a great idea, but first dip into the salt. Because you have to finish, you know, follow the halacha. You want to make symbolism. Rosh now, that was my next thing. I wanted to use the Kaf HaChayim on Rosh Hashanah. Supposed to dip it into the honey. Very nice. And I found the Mati Ephraim of Tzeh Amata says, it's a good idea, but don't overlook the halacha. Rosh Hashanah, we do everything carefully. Don't forget the halacha. The halacha is able to put into salt.
Both.
So the best way is to put one side into salt and one side into honey.
Which is first?
The halacha is always first. I want to tell you that. The halacha never. Yeah, it's halacha. You know, the honey is a nice thing, but you know, I have a problem with
where
I
use it. You have to eat where you.
Oh, we're going to get to that. I have everything on my list. I'm telling you. First of all, one more question. What? One more question that got me this. I like to go in a sequence. We spoke about weddings and Rosh Hashanah. Another time it comes up, this question, too, is the Pesach night. Pesach night, you have to dip the matzah into salt. So the Ramah and Tuf Ayin Hay says very innocently, we have pasnakia, you don't need salt. However, the Behetiv says, wait a minute, what about the Kabbalah? What about Allah? What about their symbolism? We do have to have salt, that's Perikos Tzoya, we should have salt. Oh, how do you know that? You want to hear the table. Many places can say, no, he's right, Ramah's right. On Pesach, you don't need the whole Kabbalah business. Leil Shemur, we don't take Krishna even. Zuck. The Piskei Chuvas says it's Leil Shemurma, you don't have to have it.
You don't?
Oh, I'm going to get to that. How do you? Guys, wait a minute, let me finish. One second. The best thing is, there's another problem with the salt. It takes away the taste of the matzah, lachamoini, right? That's why probably, I can't say for sure, probably most people do not use salt Leil Seder. Rosh Hashanah, yes, weddings, yes, but not Leil Seder. Now, one cheshbin that we could, let's say someone like a Bianchi is there, someone's on a sodium-free diet, but he wants to have all the chosim he has. I think the perfect eitzah would be dip it into salt three times and do it with all your kavanas you know, and then blow up all the salt. There is no inyan, Rabbi Yisai, there is no inyan to eat the salt. In fact, I'll tell you something else. The Paisim say this, and it's emes. Light taisis. Light the shaboli haleket. You don't even have to use the salt. You don't even have to dip in the salt. You have to have it on the table. The inyan is that kokon kabon chatak of melech. I'll do the hagana. So like the halacha, you don't need salt. Like tight, you have to have salt on the table. It's only dipping the salt in, dipping the bread into the salt. So if you don't want to have the salt, it's enough to dip and blow it up. And the Kaf HaChayim in the Pesach, who was a mekubal, he was a steeped in Kabbalah. He says, take the hamaisi on Pesach, dip it into salt, and blow up the salt. That's not our minute, but you see how people are very concerned about this salt business. Okay, a few more questions I wanted to mention. The point, again, to see that really the ik is to have salt on the table, somehow the salt is a hagana. What the Rebbe asked before, if you have to taka bizman hazeh, if you talk out and say, bring me salt, is it a hesek or not, is a very good question. Because today there's no longer a chiyuv. In the old days there was a chiyuv mamish, you have to be allowed to say it. Today it's not a chiyuv. The Paiskim, only the Magen Avraham that addresses this. Afilu, he says, even if you don't need it, Bein Bracha L'Achila, he says, but L'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch, we don't know if today this halach applies. I think the Magen Avraham already, and is really questioned if it's really a hetar or not.
Gemara says also, Hadei Malach Hadei Lipton.
Because
if you all don't need it.
No, in those days you did need it. It was inedible, the bread.
Either one
was inedible, yes. The Maitha, the Diak is the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the Amadayak, that if you do say it, it's not a hefsek, but it's not advisable. Because today, it's not Yenachiv. It's really not advisable to talk out. Some people like to show up and they know the halacha, but it's not a good idea. If you do talk out the Paiskim, the later Paiskim, the Amadayak, and the Rav, and the Magen Avraham, it's not a hefsek. Just two more points, but Ari mentioned, I once heard this from someone that on Friday night he's not used salt. All times, Friday night, usually during the week you're at work. No salt b'chlal. So usually, you know, during the week, you don't have salt. Shabbat, you all have salt. This is minig of the Chassam Sefer. And I asked the English, they have the minig ad ayayim, because Friday night, we don't have the analogy of kabbanis. There was no kabbanis Friday night. So akol kabban chatak yiv melech does not apply, and therefore they don't do it. This is not our minig, of course. But Table, yeah, but not to dip it into three times, because they weren't concerned about the carbonus issue.
Bagels.
Well, let me just finish. Any bread, the point is, that's clear, any bread is really a chiyuv. It's nothing to do with challah or lechem mishnah, these type of things. But what
why,
someone... What?
Why only bread?
Why only bread? Yeah. Because you're washing and you're waiting. Like Tyson says, you're washing and you're waiting. Like,
so why do you need salt? The only bread?
Because the bread was inedible.
But why the other tamen?
Because you were washing, like places, you were washing and you had to wait until...
But the other tamen should be also
on that. Let me just finish one more point I wanted to mention is, someone asked me once, if you ever heard of this inyan that you're supposed to leave the salt on the table until after benching. So I told him I never heard of it. I never did. I learned this sugya, I looked into it a little bit, I found the kafachayim later, it's in kuf pace, it's cut in gimel. That's much later in Hilchus benching. He says, since they need to have salt on the table, I'll see the comparison to Mizbeach. He says, the Mekubalim say, keep the salt until after benching. Now again, this is not quoted in the Magen Avraham, Taz, in the Paiskim, in the conventional Paiskim, but the Mekubalim have that kepeda to wait, keep the salt until after benching. That's really the same reason. So I hope I covered everything, but as you see, the simple idiom of dipping in the salt three times, you could dip in, and Rosh Hashanah, Pesach, we showed Chassan, and everything, mamash, the wide spectrum of halacha is very concerned with this minig, as we see, because as we see, everything is important in halacha. Thank you.